Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell, and you're welcome to the Business Matters Podcast. Later in the programme, I'll be catching up with the voluntary lead entrepreneur for the Acorns programme, Larissa Feeney. But first, Martin and Stephen O'Reilly from Balbuffet have both taken time out from their teaching careers to focus full-time on their business, O'Reilly Sports, which they set up 3 years ago. Martin recalled how it all began for O'Reilly Sports in 2017.
To be honest, it was probably October 2017. I was sitting in a primary school in Dublin and Donegal were obviously training and getting ready for the year ahead. I got a set of gloves posted out from a friend of mine, Kieran Murphy, and you know, at the top of it was a few bobble hats. So I sent a message to Kieran, look, do you know where you would get club crested bobble hats? He says, yeah, you do. And I was like, what do you mean? And within 1 minute, a man from Pakistan had messaged me saying, hey, sir, I hear you want to do bobble hats. And that's been honest. That was the start of it. We started off with jerseys then, and here we are now. That's kind of how it started.
So your first order, where did it come out of? And we decided then to leave the teaching on a full-time basis. But if you can bridge that gap from that first order to making the decision to sort of set up O'Reilly Sports.
So the very first order was actually a teacher in the school. He was a Longwood Minor Board Chairman in County Meath. And what he said was, look it, I'm willing to want to order some bobble hats. And I said, look it, I'm not too sure about the quality. But what I'll do is we'll give them to you at cost price. If they're good, they're good. If they're not, they're not. But you'll pay the price. So it was kind of like a shot to nothing. And they came and they were fairly decent. And that was kind of the start of it. We started going around then a few clubs in Donegal, looked for bobble hats, and then went on to socks. And time after time, we were probably asked about, do we do jerseys? And we said, no, we don't do jerseys. We don't do jerseys. And after 4 or 5 attempts, someone said to Stephen, do you do jerseys? And we just says, look it, give us a couple of weeks and we'll sort something. And that's kind of how it began. And the jerseys now and the half zips are probably the most important products in our business.
Stephen, when did you get involved with your brother?
I suppose I got involved fairly early on, you know, and then just on like a smaller base. And then as the business grew, I think it grew so fast and that I had to get involved in a larger capacity and more full time, you know. So that's kind of how that happened.
Teaching is your background and you've decided to take a career break. But if we go back again to the start of the business, you were juggling both, Stephen, for a while.
I was. So for the first 2 years or so, you know, I was juggling both to a degree, you know. My main focus was on teaching, and then kind of after that, then I was working on the sportswear, evening times, weekends. So it was tough in that way, but no, it was good and it was enjoyable the whole way through, you know, as well.
Marty, just come back to yourself there. You've decided to take a full break from teaching and give everything you have into the business. How big a decision was that for you?
To be honest, you know, it wasn't that big in the end because, you know, with the career break that I had for 2 years, we knew then if it was either going to work or not. And that's the luxury of teaching, that you had the chance to take a year out, then extend it with a second year. But there's only 5 teachers allowed out at any one time, and it was kind of selfish if it was to prolong it. So I just had to hand in my resignation. So, no, it wasn't that difficult, but I suppose the first initial year taking it out was the biggest difficulty, thinking what happens if we don't get any orders.
Where were you teaching and what class were you teaching?
Senior infants in Castleknock. And you know, I was just saying to you before, like, you started 9 o'clock, out the door, 1:30, you know, wrapped up for the day. You could sit around, you could go for coffee, get a haircut, you could have your dinner made before, you know, you'd see people coming home at 5 o'clock in the day and you had everything done, you know. So you certainly missed that element anyway.
And Stephen, where were you based before you decided to take your career break?
So I was fortunate. I was based in St. Columbus, College across the road there. I was there for 3 years, and then I kind of came to the crossroads where either took a career break or gave up the business and let Martin run it himself, you know. And I think just the pressure and just there was so much happening in the business that it was probably, I just couldn't do it. So that's when I had to go and sit down and decide just to take a career break.
Both yourself and Marty are very well known in sporting circles, and we'll focus sometime on your sporting background. Boxing was your game?
Boxing was my game. I suppose I started boxing when I was 7 or 8 years old. I was lucky I was in Twin Towns Boxing Club, and you know, it was at that time it was probably the leading boxing club in Ireland, one of them anyway. I had some unbelievable boxers there, and you know, I suppose I boxed for 14-15 years, and then I just kind of had enough of it. Like, it just came to the stage where I wasn't enjoying it as much as what I was, because boxing was very good to me. I got to travel the world. I got a lot of internationals out of it, met a lot of good friends. But, you know, it just comes to that stage where it just wasn't enjoyable, and it wasn't a hobby anymore, and it was very serious, and training was taking over my life more than anything, you know. So boxing was unbelievable, like, it really was.
Stephen, you have a unique distinction of being the first Donegal boxer to win a European gold medal at the European Schoolboys. 12 national titles, I think, as well, on top of that. That's an extremely impressive career. The Olympics eluded you. You come very close at one stage. You want to talk to me about that, given the fact that the Olympics has just passed now as well?
I did. I suppose 2000, I think it was 2012, I was fighting in Dublin, and I was fighting against Darren O'Neill. And it was the last round. I got a cut eye. It was about maybe a minute and a half to go, and it was very close. It might have been a point either way. And then about 2 weeks later, Darren qualified for the Olympics. So, and I actually beat a fella who I had beat previous to that as well. So it was a bit disappointing. And, you know, that was probably the start of where I've just started to lose the love for boxing. It was probably after them championships. I continued to box for another few years, but really that was kind of where it started to go downwards.
Was that a sore point for you?
It was. It was tough to take. You know, I put so much effort into them championships. Really thought, you know, I was in a good position to potentially beat Darren, because he was the benchmark. You know, he was the boy I knew I had to beat, and it was that close. And about 3 weeks before I was to Ireland, that's when my eye got cut first in sparring in Balbafay against a fellow from Derry called Conor Coyle, who's now professional in America and unbeaten. And I got it glued up, and I got it sorted, and I thought it was strong enough, and in the last round just got caught with a left hand, and the eye opened again, so that ended that there, so it did.
Was the professional game something that was attractive to you at any stage?
It was. I suppose I went over and trained then, summer 2012, over with Barry McGuigan in London, and myself and Ewan Devaney, we spent about maybe 2 weeks over there, over with Barry and Shane. And it was definitely something. He was building a stable of boxers around him. I'm not too sure, I just didn't really want to turn professional, and I wanted to stay amateur, because I was looking towards 2016 Olympics in. But it just probably something that, you know, after them 2012 Olympics, somewhere in between, that's where it started to go for me, and I never made it 2016, obviously, to give that a rattle. But professional boxing is tough. You know, Jason, he's turned professional and he's doing unbelievable well. You know, we were in the same club in Twin Towns for a long part of both our careers. And, you know, looking at him and talking to him probably makes me realise, maybe in a way, that it's a lot tougher than it looks, and people maybe understand that it is. Like, so maybe I made the right choice by stepping away early enough.
You're back playing club football now with Murray at McCool's.
Aye, back playing football now. This last, I suppose I'm there 5 or 6 years, back at it again now, and, you know, it's really enjoyable. They're a great bunch of lads there. You know, the team, it seems to be getting stronger and stronger every year, or maybe not even stronger, but fitter and fitter, because the fitness levels are just gone to a new level on club football from, I suppose, 10 or 15 years ago when I was that wee bit younger coming into the team. It's just, the fitness levels are just a different level, you know.
Marty, we were talking about fitness before we started recording. Talk to me about your time with Donegal.
Look, at, you know, I loved every minute of it. And, you know, it was similar to Stephen in terms of the boxing. I suppose just when it came near the end, 2018 April after the league final, you know, probably the start of the end was in January, February, when wasn't getting game time in the league. And it wasn't down to Declan or to anyone. It was just, was I training well enough? Probably not. Was I playing well enough? Probably not. And wasn't I giving everything that I could? You know, I don't think you can be a master of trying to start a business and play inter-county football, because, you know, if you talk to any of the players, it's a full-time job in itself. The way you have to plan, prepare, and, you know, I often thought some nights we were coming back to the office maybe at 11, 12 o'clock at night, and lads were going to bed and getting a good sleep. And that's the difference, and that's probably, you know, that was the reason why, you know, that I'm probably still not playing football. And looking back in it now, I don't know if I could ever get to that level again. Such was the level that the players are at. Like, it's incredible.
Do you think that the public out there are aware of just how much a demand is placed on inter-county players, Marty?
Look, I think it's been highlighted recently, but I still don't think anyone could ever understand. You know, you talk to the lads, they're in the gym now, you know, maybe 6:30 in the morning before their work, they're going home, there's physio sessions, there's video analysis sessions. And I think, you know, one thing that might have helped, you know, in terms of the lockdown was the Zoom meetings and stuff, that do you really need to travel from Kilcare to Convoy to sit in to do 45 minutes of video analysis if it can be done on the laptop? Possibly not. And if that can save a lad an hour and a half driving each way, then, you know, it's a world of difference. You know, I suppose the biggest challenge was I was living in Dublin, up and down the road, probably drained the body quicker than anything could, you know. So that was a huge challenge. But out there, do you really understand? I'm not too sure, because it's astronomical, the hours that they put in. It's incredible, really.
You decided to go full on with the business, calling time on your intercounty career and calling time on the teaching for now. That showed how important the business meant to you, even at that time, starting out.
Ah, well, look, you know what? It didn't matter. You know, when Stephen's very similar, whatever you go to do, I think you do it right and give it absolutely everything. And what's worse can happen, it doesn't work for you. At least you know you can rest assured that you give it absolutely everything. And, you know, if you're trying to play football and half business, then none of them's going to work. So you have to put your full focus and commit to something. So, look, we're giving it a go anyway at the minute.
Stephen, had you any experience in business before you got involved with Marty?
I suppose I was literally in IT for 4 years, done a degree in sports and business. So I had a little bit of a background, you know, and it's something that I really enjoyed as well. I used to run boot camps in Balbafay. So I had a little bit of experience in business, but nothing to the level. I don't think anything would prepare you for this. You know, it's just the work, the hours, nothing really would prepare you. No college, no school, no nothing. You know, I think it's just to be in the middle of it to really understand how it really works.
Both of you possess a really competitive age, and I'm sure, do you bring that to the business when you walk on the door every day here?
I think you do, because you just try and give it your best. You know, like it's not competitive in a way that you're competing against anyone in here, but it's just you're trying to bring everyone to a very high level. And, you know, just if everyone gives it their best, then we're going to succeed. You know, it's not easy, it's tough, but I think if you give it your best effort, something good will come out of it, you know.
Marty, yourself, had you any experience in business before you set up Ready Sports?
Absolutely none. I could come on here and say that, you know, transition to your sales and marketing manager in a minute, absolutely none. Teaching was my forte, and, you know.
Do you miss teaching?
Do I miss teaching? I missed the people. I loved teaching. I loved, you know, senior infants and all that there. And then for a while, the first year in business was lonely. You know, there was only one or two of us here, and, you know, it became, you know, it was hard coming in some days in the office by yourself, even when we began initially. Like, it was very lonely and you missed the people, but now we're starting to form a good group in here now, you know, with different personalities, and now it's starting to seem more like a staff room, which I loved about the teaching as well.
Where did you set up initially?
So we started, tell you, it was just in our home house in Drumbow, you know, out of the sitting room. Boxes would come in, we'd lay them out on the floor, get them out, and it wasn't hard to sort them with 20 and 30 pieces there yesterday. There was, you know, we used to...
Where did your first order go, and where did it come out of?
Well, the first one was Longwood, was the bobble hats, but then right. When we probably got going, the one that we started was Sligo IT. They give us...
What did that order consist of?
It was jerseys and half sips, training jerseys for their Sigerson Cup team. You know, and that was a huge boost of faith that, hold on a minute, there's only maybe, you know, 15, 16 really competitive colleges in Ireland, and we were getting one of them. And that was a huge shot in the arm that they were willing to place their trust in it. And I'll always remember sitting down with Michael Hart, and he just looked me in the eye and said, look, are you in this here for a quick buck, or are you in it for the long term? And I said, Michael, I'm taking a career break from teaching. We're going to give this a good go. And that was it. You know, he gave us a chance. We got out, you know, and thankfully that we're still getting orders from Sligo IT.
Is that a big part of your business, and what other parts make up your business?
Well, look, at, you know, sports like was huge to get us started, you know, but now look at, in terms of the Irish Army went to Lebanon, that was a wonderful order to get. You know, there was 300 members went, and they got 5 garments each, so you can imagine it was a lot of sorting and all. You know, businesses, Donegal businesses have been like really supportive. Especially locally, Balbafay, East Donegal has been brilliant, different workwear and things like that. So we're just doing our best in all regards, in terms of sports, business, whatever we can do, we'll do our best.
Right. When brothers go into business, I'm sure they need to get on, and obviously there's a very good relationship between yourselves. How does the dynamic work, Stephen?
I know, it works well, in fairness. You know, I suppose Martin would be a wee bit calmer maybe, and he'd take things more relaxed, but then if we leave it too long, he might do nothing. So no, there's a good balance there, you know, which I think there needs to be. We get on fairly well. We have our rows now and again, but I think both of us really want the best for the company. So I think that's why it's working well together, you know.
And in terms of staff, how is it structured and how many people work here now?
So, like, in the staffing aspect of it now, we've got the graphic designer, Mark, who works, does all our designs for teams and businesses. Then we've got Connor, who's head of our sales, who deals with all our sales for clubs, businesses. Then we have Jamie as well, who's part of the sales team, and Louise downstairs as well, who's kind of overseen a lot of the business. Then across the road, we have Paul, who does all our embroidery, printing and embroidery. He looks after that side of it, a lot of the workwear, and then some of the team wear that we're doing in-house. Then we've got three part-time staff as well. We've got Dylan, Faith and Niamh, who's just, like, they're doing some shop work, some packing, sorting, organising. So there is really a good team, you know. We're very fortunate that they really are brilliant. Like, you know, we're very fortunate that way, that we have good staff and a good team around us. Because we can put our trust, me and Martin can go away for a couple hours for the day, and we know that the work's going to be done here, you know.
How important is that?
Aye, it is. Without it, you couldn't survive, to be honest, because, you know, as much effort as me and Martin put in, like, there are not enough hours in the day to do everything, so we really rely heavily on our staff. And as I say, like, we're just very grateful that they're brilliant. There are no other words to describe them. You know, all of them they all pull their weight. They all put in as big effort as me and Martin. And really, that's all we can ask for, you know.
Marty, it's good to have such a good team to work with.
Absolutely. 100%. You know, Stephen said, and, like, to be honest, Stephen probably underestimates, you know, the influence that he's brought recently. Like, at the beginning, as I said, I started off, you know, kind of working by myself because he was teaching, and it came to probably a boiling point that it was either Stephen comes or probably the business goes, and that was just the way it was. And it wasn't easy for him with school and all that. There was a decision for him building a new house and things like that. So, you know, what he's brought it to it as well is just, he's probably a bit more affirmative, you know, makes decisions, just gets to the point, while sometimes I can dilly-dally. And, you know, I think, you know, probably the finest example I often give is sometimes, you know, if we're ordering leggings, if it's 5,000 pairs of leggings Stephen wants to order and I'm happy to order 2,000, we'll meet in the middle. And I think, you know, we don't go far wrong with most of our decisions when it's like that.
You mentioned starting the business earlier on there, Marty. In terms of your business plan, what were you expecting at the start, and what were the projected figures like, say, after year one, year two?
Well, look, I suppose we never, you know, we wouldn't be, Stephen, a bit more mathematically minded than me, but, you know, it was never a case of, look, we want 100,000 or 200,000. We just focused on orders, you know, club orders that we'd try to get out to. And our target was 20 orders a month, and that was kind of, we'd really push for 250 orders in the year, you know. And I suppose then it went to 40, and we had a conversation with a very good Donegal businessman one time, Declan Galler, and he says, you know, why would you not get to 80 or 90 orders a month? And I remember Stephen and myself come back saying, we could never do that, like, you know. And now it's upwards as well, over 100. Like, there was one day, you know, but 2 weeks ago, we put in 19 orders in the one day. And just thinking back, that used to be our month's tally, you know, to think that it was in one day was just incredible. So,
are you surprised at how successful it has become in such a short space of time?
Absolutely. Like, you know, when you ask when did we start, just thinking back to this, you know, it's just over 3 years, is really, it's brilliant. Like, and, you know, we have a map there with pins on the board and to cover, you know, most counties in Ireland now. And but ultimately it's down to repeat customers. And do we get everything right? Absolutely not. You know, didn't sleep a wink last night, Stephen's worried about, you know, boxes coming in. You have problems that are totally uncontrollable. They're stuck in imports, you know. They left there nearly 2 weeks ago. They're not in yet, and that's the challenge. And we can do absolutely nothing about it. That's the biggest challenge, you know. It can be really frustrating and disappointing, but I think if you just do your best, people will understand that, you know, you're trying in every way that you can.
So, Stephen, you're the Cameron influence, according to Marty.
I don't know about that. I'm not sure if you call it Cameron or not, but look, it's definitely just a part of business, I think, where you need both aspects to the business, you know, and one maybe to be a firm in the decisions, but also someone to maybe pull back and say, look, that's a bit too far, that's a bit too much, you know.
Brexit obviously has been impacting on everybody's business, and obviously the pandemic we'll talk about shortly as well. How have both affected things at O'Reilly Sports?
Well, I suppose they've both affected them in different ways. Like, in terms of Brexit and imports, we've always been importing stuff. So it didn't really come with much of a change. The biggest aspect of it would be probably the delays, because all of a sudden now, anything from England's been classified as importing. While before this, you were importing from other parts of the world. The delay at the airports or at the depots is probably the biggest impact that we would have, because we've always been paying the duties and the tariffs the whole time, so it really hasn't changed for us. And that side of it, getting boxes in is probably the one of the biggest. And then in terms of like how did Brexit and how did the pandemic affect our business, like at the start it affected it very badly, you know, and very hard, because I suppose all our markets were wiped away from us. Like, schools were closed, sports teams were closed, a lot of businesses were closed.
And the business was just getting up and running properly at this stage?
It was only properly getting going. Mm. I was on my first year of the career break. Martin had just finished up teaching. It was probably around March time, and all of a sudden it was just halted completely.
What were your thoughts at that particular point?
You could probably go two ways. You could probably say, this is it, you know, pack it in and try and move on and maybe potentially go back to teaching both of us, or else you could just dig your heels in and try and adapt the business, which I think, you know, looking back now, the pandemic probably helped our business, because it gave us time to reset, get things right that maybe weren't right at the time, and it nearly springbolted us to another level, our quality wise, our sizing, our consistency. It slowed the business down, certainly for a period of time, which we were lucky enough that we could survive. But it really, like, looking back now, it probably helped us to a degree. I know it lasted a lot longer than what we would have hoped. But then we went online. We turned all our markets to the online sector. Like, I suppose last year, as Martin says, we were turning around about 60, 70 orders a month at the start of March and February. And then it went to maybe two or three, April, May kind of time. Like, so it went a drop of 50, 60 orders, you know. And then as we went online, we were trying to look for new ways of how we can bring in teams and how we could still service the market without actually meeting them, because nobody could try on the clothes. Nobody could come to us and meet us or nothing. So that's when we went online. We put up just all our products basically and ran it like we were meeting the people face to face. And we've been so fortunate, you know, that the clubs have bought into that as well. Like, they've really, really been supportive and they give us every opportunity to service them. And you know, thankfully, like, so far, we've done a lot of teams and we've had very, very little issue with the online platform, you know.
And, Marty, you decided then to set up a second business to run in tandem with O'Reilly Sports.
Yeah, well, look, at you know, with the pandemic and, you know, with the sports side of things closing, we were just kind of debating, you know, what to do. Do we, you know,
go hard or go home,
you know? Do you let maybe 7-8 staff go and say, look, unfortunately there's no sports clubs, come back whenever things open up? Or
that was a big decision for you at that time.
It was, and you know what, it was 95% of Stephen's decision, because I'll tell you what, he just, you know, between himself and his fiancée Sinead, they just, you know, had developed them kind of ladies leggings, and we got lucky that we were dabbling in leggings, and we probably after 40 or 50 samples, we were near the end, like, you know what, we'll just give it a miss, it's not for us. And then kind of the last, obviously, you know, the last pair nearly that we tried was just incredible. And, you know, we can't keep them in stock. I just remember Stephen saying about the minimum order of 200 pairs was the first order. And we're like, what will we do? Like, so we have 200 pairs now, like, you're ordering 500 of the one size alone in one colour.
And the brand is?
It's Bally. So it was Bally, just, you know, the name came up, but it was just, you know, we thought of somewhere exotic, and also, again, it was a link nearly to Bal Buffet too, and people asked, but it was just a name that we were committed to go with, and we didn't really have a lot of time to think about a name, Kieran, that's been honest. We just had to go with it.
And did the pandemic change the demand and the style that people were looking for?
Absolutely, like the ladies, especially the leggings, we just couldn't keep them in stock, because, you know, they were working from home. It didn't matter if you were a solicitor, a doctor, a nurse, you know, obviously just the nurses were in hospital, but 90% of occupations were working from home, and they were wearing their leggings or their casual clothing, and as a result, it catapulted kind of in terms of the sales in online.
You were awarded Ireland's Best Young Entrepreneur winner and regional Donegal finalist in 2019. A nice award.
It was lovely, especially given, you know, there was some wonderful businesses that was in it as well, and look, it just went down. And just on that here, just, well, in case I forget to mention, the local enterprise office has just been absolutely brilliant from the get-go to us, from the support, you know, that they have given us. You know, we do embroidery here now in Ireland across the road. Like, without their support, they give us the freedom and the, I suppose, the confidence to go, to Grace, to Michael, to Brenda, to Eva, all the, they just were super. They really, really were. And, you know, if you're listening in today and you're thinking about starting a business, get in touch with them today, because if they can do absolutely anything for you, they will. And, you know, often you hear stories about, they're not going to be much help, or you need to do this. Like, literally, if they can do anything, they will certainly do their best to help you.
Okay. Stephen, the biggest lesson you've learned in your relatively short time in business?
That's a tough question, because I learned a lot. I suppose it's just about, once you commit to it, just to go with it. You know, there's certainly decisions that myself and Martin made that weren't right, but we thought they were right at the time. And, you know, they might not have been wrong, but they might not have just been the best decision for the business. But ultimately, when you go through it, you know, you just come out the other side probably stronger. So my lesson is just to stay strong and keep pushing through it, you know.
Marty, same question to yourself.
Probably the one at the beginning was, you know, you were over promising people, like, can you get it in 10 days? And you were saying, oh, yeah, well, and we were putting yourself under serious pressure and you're letting people down. You know, we try to be really, really honest with people and say, look, it's going to take 6 weeks, or, you know, obviously the things that are outside our control in terms of DHL, but from the beginning now, we try to be as transparent with people and say, look, this could take 6 weeks, you know, but we're trying to just let them know that it's going to take 6 weeks. If it gets in 4, brilliant, but if it takes six and a half weeks, then, you know, that they were expecting that. And I think that was the biggest lesson that I've learned is, you know, just to be brutally honest with them from the get-go, and you get far more respect for that.
Marty, if you had followed your childhood dream job and you weren't running O'Reilly Sports, what would you be doing now?
Look, at it, you know, to be brutally honest, I'd probably still be teaching in the classroom, be it Donegal or...
Was teaching something you always aspired to be?
Well, to be honest, it was conducive to playing Gaelic football,
right.
And I think that's probably still where it'd be, you know, and, you know, down the line I did a Masters in Queen's, you know, and maybe if it was something to go into, maybe a leadership role, a principal or vice principal or something, that aspiration to do, but, you know, probably would be teaching, to be honest, Kieran.
Stephen, same question to yourself.
I suppose mine's would be probably PE teaching as well. You know, like, growing up it was always going to be something to do with sports. Didn't really know what exactly initially, early on, but as time went on, I just seen PE teaching, really enjoyed it, and ended up loving it and doing it. So it would have been something in sports along this line, probably was never expected, but I would just, something in sports would have been, and PE teaching probably was the overall goal, you know, when I was younger.
And finally, Stephen, what does the future hold for yourself and your businesses now?
Look, we're just gonna keep pushing on hard, just keep the head down and keep working. We've big plans for the business, but, you know, it's just down to hard work and trying to get there ourselves, you know, because it's just a matter of pushing on now. Things aren't easy. You know, things definitely be tough at times, but there are big opportunities out there. And, you know, the world's a big place. So, just keep going now and keep soldiering on would be where I'd be thinking.
Marty, and the plans for yourself and the business going forward?
I suppose just to keep growing, to get, you know, create as much employment at Bal Buffet as we can, you know, and just to keep delivering a good service, a good quality product. And, you know, just geared, I suppose, just to, like, we've been so lucky with the family that we've had, you know, with Mammy and Daddy and Deirdre, you know, we often leave them out at times. And just a shout out to them, because without them from the beginning, like, they're delivering boxes, they're collecting boxes, and, you know, it's at times, you know, that's really difficult, that they're always there for us. And, you know, I suppose just without them, they'll certainly be a big part of our future as well, hopefully.
And that was Martin and Stephen O'Reilly, co-founders of O'Reilly Sports in Bal Buffet. Now, the deadline for applications for the next Acorns programme for early stage female entrepreneurs in Ireland is Friday, September the 10th. Larissa Feeney, who set up the award-winning accountantonline.ie, which now has a staff of 50 and a client base in excess of 2,000, is the voluntary lead entrepreneur for the Acorns programme.
Larissa, can you talk to me about the programme and what it entails?
Sure. Acorns is a six-month part-time development programme for early-stage female entrepreneurs. So any females who have started a business or are in the early stages of even having a business idea, the only requirement is that you can't have had sales prior to the 1st of January 2019. It's a programme that's funded by the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, and we're very thankful for their support. And it runs over 6 months from October. The participants are asked to meet once a month hopefully face-to-face, although last programme was online. And it's a structured programme that will bring you through various topics on a monthly basis.
You've been involved for a number of years. Obviously, a big change this year, Larissa, with the online element. A bit of a challenge?
Yes, actually, this is only my second year, Karen. Last year was the first year that was online, but it was my only experience. And it was very different, I think it's fair to say, for all of the leads to run the programme online. There's 50 participants in the programme from all around the country, all females, all from rural areas, broken up into small groups and run by lead entrepreneurs who operate on a volunteer basis. It was very different. It was all online. Hopefully this one will be face-to-face. But even last year, even though it was online, it was very successful. There was a huge uptake and all of the women found it hugely beneficial to their business.
What can participants expect to take from the programme, Larissa?
I think it's what we've seen is that participants get a lot of support. They broaden their network. The programme helps them to realise that they're not alone in running their business and they're not alone in starting their business. And any of the issues that they face are faced by other women in business as well. So it's a really good opportunity to talk through those issues, to seek mentorship, to seek support, and to help build that resilience that's needed when running and starting a business.
It's a major undertaking to start a business.
It's a huge undertaking to start a business. It's an even bigger undertaking to start a business in a rural area. So any support that you can get and any networking that you can do is massive in terms of helping you to overcome those hurdles that you encounter when running a business.
You've had the experience and a good experience of availing of the help and assistance that is about the area, Larissa, and about Donegal. Do you want to talk to me about some of that help you got in the past yourself?
Yeah, of course. I started networking a long time ago, and there's been various programs over the years. There's been the Going for Growth program, which is part of the same initiative that Acorns is. There's the local networking groups in Donegal, like, for example, Donegal Women in Business, that are a huge support to any woman at any stage of business that they're in. So I would advise anybody to seek out any support that they can get, either online or offline. Obviously, with COVID, we now have huge opportunities to take part in online networking groups that never would have been there before.
Is there more awareness among would-be entrepreneurs now of the help and assistance out there, or is that something that your sales need to keep plugging away?
I think we need to keep plugging away. I would love to think that people are aware of the support that's there, but I know from my own experience that that's just not the case. People are just so busy. Entrepreneurs and founders are so busy trying to get their business up and running and trying to get the funding in place or get their product out there or their service launched or whatever it is. Sometimes they don't just think that there is support out there that could help them to do that.
In relation to your own business, we spoke almost a year ago. How have you found the last 12 months?
The last 12 months have been challenging, I think, for everybody, obviously, with the pandemic. For us, we were primarily an online business anyway, so it was very easy for us to work online. The team had been remote, and indeed our client base were remote. But nevertheless, it was hugely challenging, I think, from an individual perspective. Each of us had to deal with our own individual working arrangements, working from home, homeschooling, and caring responsibilities that we had. So I think it's fair to say that everybody had pressures that they had to overcome. But, I mean, we overcame them together as a team. And I'm very proud of how we managed the business through the pandemic and how we've come out the other side and have managed to grow the team now to over 50 people, almost 55 people.
That's a big team.
Yes, it's a big team.
What was started initially with how many?
Started initially with me. Started with me a long time ago and has grown over the last probably 10 years or so, 8 or 10 years, to 55 people.
And you have in the region of 2,000 clients on your books at the minute?
We do. We have over 2,000 clients. We're recruiting strongly every month. We're growing well. And we're always looking for really good, talented, ambitious, enthusiastic people to join our team.
How has the remote working worked, and has that impacted a lot on your business?
A proportion of our team would always have been remote working. I recruited my first remote worker 4 years ago, actually, 4.5 years ago. So we always had a diverse team. But we still had two offices. So we had people based in offices in Letterkenny and Dublin. Everybody obviously is working from home now. And I think it's worked very well, actually. Everybody has performed excellently from home. There's been no impact on productivity. You know, we trust our team, Karen, to do their work, and they do. And, you know, the only thing I think we miss is the collaboration with each other. We've had to work very, very hard to try to recreate that that team, I suppose, the team atmosphere and an online workplace. And that's something that we have to continue to work hard to do.
You're passionate about the Acorns program. You like helping people.
I love helping people. I love seeing my team develop. I love seeing female entrepreneurs develop. I love seeing them growing their business and gaining that confidence that they need. That we know through all the evidence that we see that women need the help with their confidence whenever they start and run a business.
And for those interested and looking to sign up for the program, how can they do that?
The application form is available on acorns.ie, and applications close on the 10th of September at midnight.
Larisha Finney, Bond Lead Entrepreneur for the Acorns Programme and founder of the award-winning accountant online business. Thanks for taking the time today to talk to us on Business Matters.
Thank you, Karen.
Well, that's our lot for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guests, Martin and Stephen O'Reilly and Larisha Finney. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound, and thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.